Matthew 6:19-24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
This morning, we continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus' teachings on moth, vermin, and thieves. All pests, all threats to our wealth and security on this earth. Fortunately, Jesus tells us, guaranteed pest control is ours for the taking, at no charge. But we must choose wisely where we will store our wealth. Our passage this morning points out that storing wealth on this earth will leave us empty-handed. Jesus guarantees that if we will store our treasure in heaven, it will be safe and waiting for us to enjoy it forever when we are with Him. With that in mind, here on the screen is today's sermon. It's just that simple. I'll post this to our Faith Life group. Please study it well. So, would you stand in body and spirit for the benediction? You're not buying it. No, because you know I have to say something about this beautiful graphic, right? Well, this will be my only slide this morning. And I'll be quoting scripture, and I'm not going to take the time to give references because I just want it to flow. But Greg posts our sermons every after Sunday afternoon, and the text of the sermons with the references and everything are there for you to see if you would like to. This graphic helps us to see the tension that characterizes the lives of those of us who follow Jesus. Non-Christians don't have the struggle. They just go straight down the left side of the graphic. Store up treasures on earth and live a life full of darkness because they serve wealth. However, for those of us who follow Jesus, we are constantly negotiating the pull between living for ourselves, storing up treasures in this earth, or living for God, storing up treasures in heaven. Therefore, we constantly live in the tension of what we will bring into our heart. Will we bring into our heart things and experiences that reinforce our desire to live for ourselves? Or will we bring into our heart things and experiences that cause us to have a desire for a life bathed in the light of God's goodness and truth? Finally, we live in the tension of determining who we will serve. Will we serve ourselves by being driven to gain wealth in this life? Or will we serve God and allow ourselves to be driven by storing up spiritual riches that God provides for us? Let's talk about earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. What are earthly treasures? Jesus says we cannot serve both money and God. The Greek word translated serve here is not the work of an employee. It is the work of a slave. Jesus is saying here that you can't be owned by money and be owned by God. The word translated money is an Aramaic word that you've heard, because the King James just pulls it right in. Mammon. Mammon means money, but it means more than money. It means money and all the things that money can buy. And we can even understand it in a more broader and comprehensive sense. One commentator wrote, quote, "Mammon seems to be a rival to God. Service of Mammon and service of God are mutually exclusive. The servant of Mammon is an idol worshiper." End quote. This morning I want us to think about Mammon in its broadest sense as any wealth that is a rival to God for our absolute loyalty to Him. With that in mind, we can speak of at least three types of earthly treasure. The first is material wealth, which includes our money and all of our other material resources. The second is relational wealth, which is our relationships that we enjoy with our family and our friends. And the third is social wealth, which is how society values who we are and what we do. None of these forms of wealth are evil at their core. In their proper place, all are good. As Christians, we are free to use this wealth, to enjoy being blessed by this wealth, and even build this wealth. In fact, each of these forms of earthly wealth, when rightly used, can be means by which we store up treasures in heaven. For example, we can use our material wealth to bless and help others in the name of Jesus, to support the causes of Christ in His church. We can use our relational wealth to help our family and friends love God. We can use our social wealth to contribute positively to society in a way that brings God glory. Wealth in any of these forms only becomes a problem when it becomes our master. Mammon becomes our master when our primary purpose in life is to build security in this world through material, relational, or social wealth. This is a problem for two reasons. The first is simply that security in this life is impossible to accomplish. We cannot build ironclad security in this life through any form of wealth. Treasures on this earth are always diminishing, always at risk, and always temporary. The law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, in simple terms states that anything left to itself, or left to itself, everything in the universe moves toward disorder and decay. Metals rust, foods rot, our bodies deteriorate. As Jesus said, moth, vermin, and thieves destroy any hope of earthly security. Second, pursuing security through the accumulation of wealth as the central purpose of life makes us an idolater. And this assures our eternal damnation by our own choice. Regarding material wealth, Jesus said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" About relational wealth, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Concerning social wealth, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." The good news, the gospel, is we do not have to go down this path of serving wealth. We can choose to store up treasure in heaven. What are treasures in heaven? Our treasures are, first of all, what our Heavenly Father has done for us in Christ Jesus. Let me just say that again. The first one is what our Heavenly Father has done for us in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Peter wrote this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance, that can never," what? "Can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last time." Our treasure in heaven is what our Father has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our treasure in heaven is who we are becoming in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Our treasure in heaven is everything that our Father is doing in our lives to conform us into the image of Christ, achieving for us that eternal glory that far outweighs any of our difficulties, knowing that all of that goodness that He is building into us is storing up heavenly wealth for us, a home, an eternal house, not built by human hands. We don't build it. God builds it in us, through us. We are His workmanship. Our treasures in heaven are the works that we do for the Father's glory. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God, in His glorious mercy, prepared good works for you and for me that we would engage in all through our life. All through our life that will bring Him glory. The good works of being a mechanic and treating people right in the name of Jesus. The good works of being an electrician and treating people right in the name of Jesus. The good works of being a school teacher and forming the hearts of children in the name of Jesus. Whatever God has given you in this life to do, and you've done it as best you can as a child of God for His honor and for His glory, relating to people in that fashion, that is storing up treasures in heaven that are waiting there for each of us. For God prepared those things for us in His gracious goodness, so we cannot fail. Isn't that wonderful? And then Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." We've spoken many times of the reciprocal connection between eyes and heart in Jewish thought. The point is this. What enters the eye, for good or ill, enters the heart. When something enters our heart, it becomes a part of our being. We integrate it into our personality, and it influences our thinking and our choices. Likewise, the condition of our heart, for good or ill, determines what our eyes seek out as pleasurable, which reinforces the desires of our heart. Where we set our heart, there our eyes will follow. One way to discover the intent of our hearts is to pay attention where we cast our eyes. What are we bringing into our minds and our emotions that give us a sense of security and well-being? Are our eyes craving treasure on this earth or heavenly treasure? When healthy eyes bring into our heart the light of God's goodness and truth, our whole being is full of health. When unhealthy eyes bring evil into our heart, our whole being is sick, even if we think our life is great. Evil is anything that in practice, and that phrase is important, evil is anything that in practice, in other words, anything that I actually do, that is more important to me than God. What is there a practice that I do? Is there something that I do that for me is actually more important to me than God? If it is, that is evil. When we walk in the darkness of evil, we think we're on the path to prosperity, when all the while we're walking the path to our own ruin by our own choice. If you have no desire for a secure heavenly inheritance in Jesus, no matter how well off you think and feel you are stumbling in great darkness. Your greatest and best hope is to ask God to open your eyes to see the light of Jesus. This is because everybody serves somebody. If we do not serve God through faith in Jesus, then we are serving the things of this world. Jesus tells us there is no riding the fence. We cannot serve God and serve earthly wealth. Again, Jesus is not saying to us that material wealth, relational wealth, and social wealth are inherently bad. In fact, they are good and can be used for the glory of God. But Jesus is saying that wealth in all its forms will damn our souls if these are the most important to us. If they are more important to us than our relationship. Jesus Jesus is saying here is blunt. This is not poetry. If we love earthly wealth, we hate God. That's the message. If we devote ourselves to earthly wealth, we despise God. This is damning. Jesus is equally forceful about what saves and liberates us. If we love God, we will hate wealth. We will hate wealth in the sense that we do not build our life around it. If we despise earthly wealth, in the sense that we know that it's always diminishing, always at risk, and always temporary, we will be loyal to God. Because wealth in all of its forms is not our master. When we set our heart on storing up treasures in heaven, our eyes will seek ways to build those treasures and reinforce that desire in our heart. Then we're free. We're free to use wealth and enjoy God's blessing of it in all its forms. We're also free not to resent our circumstances when wealth is absent. Our heart, our eyes, and our service aligns properly because our Heavenly Father owns us. Our Heavenly Father owns us. So here's the big idea of this morning's message. The intent of our heart determines our destiny. We can trace the steps of our destiny along one of two paths. The first is, I set my heart to gain security in this life through acquiring material, relational, or social wealth. Therefore, my eyes lead me to things that gain and build that wealth. My destiny is that I worship wealth now, even if I do not get wealth. You see, it is possible to be dirt poor and worship wealth. Because that's where our heart is. That's what we're always striving after. Therefore, if that's my path, I will experience the eternal agony of choosing to serve the wrong master. The second path is I set my heart on resting in the riches I have stored in heaven through Christ Jesus, through becoming like Him, and through doing the good works ordained for me by my Father. Therefore, my eyes lead me to opportunities to build on this wealth. My destiny is that I worship God now, with or without earthly wealth. Finally, I will enjoy for eternity the riches stored up for me through the grace of my Lord Jesus' death for me, through my Heavenly Father's grace of using everything in my life to transform me into the image of Jesus. And through the grace of the good works my Father predestined for me to do for His glory. This morning, if you find yourself on the path of storing up treasure on earth, the good news is that today is the day of salvation. You can choose right now to switch paths and start today storing up treasure in heaven. I encourage you to speak to me or one of our elders or deacons or a Christian you trust and start that fresh path. We will be happy, delighted, overjoyed to help you do that today. For those of us on the path of storing up treasure in heaven, on the day we enter our eternal home, we will realize how fully saved we are by grace alone. Through faith in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, our heart will finally be eternally where our treasure is, safely held in the care of our good Heavenly Father. Let us pray. So, Father, we do thank You for Your gracious goodness that You orchestrate so that we just cannot fail, if you're Your children, to store up treasures in heaven because of the abundant treasure that You have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and how You use everything in our life to make us like Jesus. So on the day of His coming, there's no mistaking the family resemblance. And then in Your gracious mercy, before we were ever born, You ordained the good works that we would do just naturally in our life, through our professions, through our relationships, through our church, in every area of life, that as we live life for Your sake and for Your glory, that we just naturally store up treasure in heaven. You are so good to us. You love us so much. Help us to grasp that in our hearts every day. In Jesus' name.